it's gotten a slow start, but the movement to begin the school day later, particularly in high schools, may be picking up steam. A growing body of research seems to indicate that students who get more sleep perform better in school and they suffer less from depression.
A recent New York Times column picked up on the trend and topped the list of the paper's most read articles. Joining us now to talk about the issue, the science and the latest here in Wisconsin, are two members of the organization Start School Later. Dolores Skoranek is the National Outreach Director for the group, and Kari Oakes is the group's National Research Director. Dolores, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you, Veronica, for having us on.
And Kari, a pleasure to have you with us as well.
Thanks so much for having us today.
Well, Kari, let's start with you. The movement to start schools earlier has been kicking around for about 20 years. Why has it taken so long to pick up steam?
Well, you know, it's a really good question, and I think one of the answers to that has to do with why we now have a national organization. In each local school district, each district has its own particular challenges to face and its own docket of issues it has to address every year, and it's frankly hard to get this issue into public consciousness and to filter to the top of everyone's awareness. But I think that emerging research about sleep and the importance of enough sleep for teen health and achievement has really helped bring this issue to the forefront both locally and nationally.
And Kari, what does some of the science have to say about why it could benefit students to start the day later?
Well, I'm glad you've asked, and I really hope Dolores will chime in too, because she maintains a terrific resource bank for a lot of people who do research on this issue. But one of the things that we know is that the teen body clock shifts later, not just in humans, but also in primates. And so at adolescence, every teen and every primate will have a general tendency to go to sleep a little bit later and wake up a little bit later in the morning. This has to do with a lot of hormonal changes that happen during this time. So that's one reason that we know that a very early rise time is difficult for teens. We also know that teens need quite a bit of sleep. 8.5 to 9.25 hours of sleep is a figure you often hear. And we know that teens are primed to learn better later in the day. But some of the most important and disturbing information has to do with long-term bad effects, both on mood and on intellectual development and even on physical development of sleep deprivation during this period. So there can be bad effects for the heart, for weight gain, maybe even for tendency toward diabetes as adults when teenagers are not getting the amount of sleep they need at the time they need it.
And Dolores, did you want to chime in on any of that with the research that we're seeing there? What strikes you the most?
Well, what strikes me the most is the amount of research that's been done specifically on adolescent sleep patterns and the consequences of sleep loss in adolescents. And by profession, I am a health science librarian, and about 5 years ago, I started digging through the research literature on this, and it absolutely blew me away, especially when you look at the consequences of sleep loss, specifically for teens. And Kari mentioned some of them, memory and learning issues, ability to pay attention, mood and behavior, self-esteem. There are studies coming out now that are linking sleep loss to childhood obesity. There's been studies that look at safety and traffic accidents, and also studies that have linked sleep loss to a variety of risky behaviors in teenagers. And when I first became aware of that huge body of research, and again, it goes back much of it years, it just frightened me. And at the time, my oldest son was in middle school. And at the time, we had a 7:10 start time where I live in Greenfield and a 6:35 bus pickup.
So that means you get up at what, 5:45 in the morning?
Usually got up around 6 o'clock, and that gave them just enough time, you know, to have a quick breakfast, brush their teeth, and they were out the door. And when we had that 7:10 start time, I mean, my boys, they were chronically sleep-deprived, and I could see the impact on their health as far as, you know, the sleep loss that they were experiencing.
And, Dolores, what's considered a good start time? What's late enough to start to give teens enough sleep?
Well, if you look at the research literature, the research literature that looks specifically at high school start times, it points to around 8:30 or later. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but it was mentioned in the New York Times piece. There was a really good and pretty significant study that was recently released. It was mainly authored, the lead researcher was Kyla Wahlstrom, and she's out of the University of Minnesota. And one of the things that Kyla did was she looked at a large body of data. She surveyed over 9,000 students, and she looked at the school start times for numerous high schools and the amount of sleep that the kids were getting. And what's so significant, in my opinion, from her study was she found that with later start times, kids got more sleep. Later start times equal more sleep for adolescents. And when you get more sleep, you put yourself at less risk for all of these health and academic issues that I mentioned and Carrie mentioned earlier.
And Carrie, what about for younger kids? What about a kid who's in, say, second grade? Do these same rules apply or not quite so much?
Not quite so much. I think that the thing that carries across really our whole lifespan is we're getting an increasing awareness of how important sleep is as the third pillar of public health. We're really happy to see the First Lady encouraging diet and exercise in all age groups, especially children. But we also are getting an increasing awareness, I think, that everyone needs sleep, everyone needs enough sleep, and everyone needs it at the right time. Many of us who have been parents have experienced the fact that your second grader may be bouncing out of bed at 6, 6:30, 7 in the morning when you would rather sleep in, and you're dragging that teenager out of bed at whatever time they have to get up. But certainly when my daughter had to get up at 5:45 for her 6:20 a.m. bus for a 7:17 high school start, that was too early for her body. My elementary schooler didn't start until 9, and he was up at 6:30 or 7, and it felt a little backwards to me.
So I imagine, Carrie, one possible response is, hey, just get these slacker teenagers to bed to sleep earlier at night. They get up early, no problem. They got enough sleep in the meantime.
Doesn't that sound like it would be great if it worked? I think the anecdotal evidence of those of us who have teens know that it's not quite that easy. You know, my eighth grader now is telling me that when he turns his light out at a great time of 9:30 or so, he'll often lie there staring at the ceiling until 11:30, sometimes even later, because he's beginning to experience that body clock shift. Some kids are really able to go get to bed early and even to get enough sleep, but for many, many, many adolescents, their body clocks don't let them do it. High school schedules don't let them do it. And even with the best-intentioned parents, it's really hard to get your kid that full night of sleep. If they have to get up by 5:30, 5:45, 6 in the morning, it's just not going to happen.
And, Kari, some of the pushback seems to be that if schools start later, then after-school activities go extra late, and sometimes it can get the family out of sync with younger siblings who are on a different schedule, too. So how do early start advocates like yourself respond to problems like that?
Right. I mean, it points up a couple of really important things, and I'm glad you raised the questions. One thing is that right now, transportation and efforts to save transportation costs are often driving the budget and unfortunately driving academic and educational concerns. In an effort to save on busing costs, a lot of districts have gone to running 3 full cycles of buses. And so the result of that is that you have schools starting at widely staggered times. And I would say that it's actually the staggering of the times and not so much the order in which things start that can really cause problems for families. And I would say that, you know, as somebody who has lived through it. The other thing I think that we need to point out is that we send our kids to school to learn, and we give them healthy food and enough sleep and get them exercise so they can be healthy. And as parents and as a society, those are the things that are really important. When, for example, Minneapolis or Edina, Minnesota moved to those later start times, they found that the community shifted around what the high schoolers were doing. Change is hard on an individual level and for a community, but when families and schools and a community put the health and safety of their children first, they find ways to make these changes happen.
We're talking right now with two members of the national organization Start School Later. Dolores Garonic is with us and Kari Oakes as well, and we'll get to your calls after the news. We're talking about the movement to start the school day later. It's picking up some steam nationwide after a slow start. And proponents say research indicates a later start, especially for teenagers, would help their school performance and lower depression rates.
And we'd love to hear what you think of this. Do you see your child struggling with an early start to the school day? How would a later start affect your family schedule and your school? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And let's go right to our callers. We've got Randy on the line in Cadott. Randy, hi. Randy, are you there?
I am.
What do you think about this?
I think that to disrupt 25% of the population, give or take some, to reestablish a new starting time for our schools is ludicrous at best. And the reason for this is that as the society adjusts to the new start time, people will inevitably be starting their whole day later, the parents, the students, and so they'll stay up later. And so pretty soon, I foresee like a 24-hour cycle, pretty soon we'll be starting school at midnight because that's when people are getting up. And I do have one comment. The city of Chippewa Falls at one point a couple of years ago decided that they needed to figure out a way to improve the quality of the teaching experience in the school district. Their solution was to start school 2 hours late twice a month to allow the teachers to get together to brainstorm new and improved ways of teaching students rather than
Randy, I think you're taking us a little far afield there because that's not a daily later start time. But thanks for the call and the point there, Dolores, that, hey, the teens, the parents are going to adjust. They'll stay up later. They still lose the sleep.
Actually, there has been research that has specifically looked at bedtimes and whether or not kids do stay up later when the start time changed. And from the research studies that are out there, they have found that that just simply isn't true. When kids have later start times, they don't go to bed later. And I can tell you from personal experience, when our district went to a later start time, my children maintained the same bedtime. What happens when schools change is, you know, the community adjusts. And in the long run, it's better for these kids. If communities really are concerned about the health and the well-being of their children, then communities with early start times, this is something that they need to seriously look at because these are our kids. These are our future. We have a responsibility to make sure that they're healthy and they're safe and they're learning.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. And we'll go next to Janelle in Madison. Hi, Janelle.
Hi, Veronica.
What do you think?
Well, I was just interested in your sort of talking about when they get to the teenage years that they have this time clock shift that happens. Well, obviously that's something that's going to be happening for future life. So as adults, we've already had this time clock shift. So I'm just kind of interested why we're talking so much about the children and not also about the adults that really have to struggle to get up to get their kids off to school. Like, obviously, we've had that time clock shift, and it's a huge struggle for us as well.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thank you, Janelle. And she's saying that it's hard for parents to get up that early. They're not on the schedule of little kids, and maybe it takes a toll on parents, too. What about that, Kari?
You know, that's a really good question. For a lot of people, after the adolescent circadian rhythm body clock shift, they will settle back into being a little more of an early bird. Some people will do that, and some people remain night owls. So there's a big variation in what the human sleep clock looks like. We do find that with some younger people, especially teachers, that this very, very early start time negatively affects teacher performance as well, and even, you know, potentially can make it difficult to recruit and retain teachers if you're asking a young adult, an energetic young teacher, to have to be up at 5:30, they're still in this adolescent clock as well. You know, it's hard to find a one-size-fits-all solution. There are some things that are a factor of individual variation, and there are some things that we as a society know we could do better. And I think Janelle brings up a great point that these very, very early rising times are not really healthy for anyone.
Before we go back to our callers, Dolores, is this catching on? Are a lot of schools doing this around the country?
It, It is starting to catch on. More and more schools are putting it on their school board agendas. Administrators are talking about it. Parents are talking about it. And I don't really have any national data, and I'm not even sure if any exist. I believe that it doesn't, as to how many schools are changing. But from being attached with the Start School Later movement, Carrie and I, we're both kind of plugged into what's going on in other districts across the country. And as I said earlier, people are starting to pay attention. This movement, I think, is finally, after so many years, is finally starting to, you know, catch on fire, and people are beginning to recognize the research, and it's thanks to shows like this, stories like what was in the New York Times, and social media has also been really helpful. Once people find out about it, they start to become concerned, and again, it gets into the dialogue, which I think is very, very important.
All right, well, let's move back to the phones. Paul joining us from Oshkosh now. Hi, Paul.
Hi, our school district in Oshkosh switched over to later start for high schoolers and middle schoolers at the beginning of the school year, and it's had far more problems than any foreseen benefits in it at all.
What kind of
in
problems?
Fact, I know on our board, the agenda coming up in May after the April election, it's on their agenda to revisit this issue because of complaints and consider going back to the earlier start that we had in the past.
Can you tell us about what some of the problems are?
Well, problems are the amount of people or students, especially high schoolers, that are showing up late, tardy at school has significantly gone up because apparently they believe that both parents work, the parents go off to work in the mornings, and the high schoolers are sleeping in or being late going to school. At the end of the day, we have a lot of students that are involved in after-school athletics, and they end up missing part of their last hour of class because of sports games. They have to leave early to go to the games and shop for games. That wasn't an issue before, but if you have a student that has literature or biology at the end of the day and they're playing basketball or they're playing soccer and there's, you know, one or two games a week and they have to leave early and they miss an important class like that, that's an issue. You know, I, for one, as a parent, I don't want my child, you know, missing important classes.
All right, let's leave it there so we can get our guests in on an answer, Paul. And Kari, what about some of those questions and issues that Paul raised about what happened in his school district?
Right, and you know, it's really great to have people call in with real-life observations and experiences. Paul, what time does your high school start, and what time did it used to start?
Paul's dropped off, actually.
Oh, yeah, so I don't have that information in front of me. I can tell you that during these bumpy, you know, first semesters when they're working out some of these things, you do see issues like this. Overall, the data show that tardies go down and attendance goes up when school starts on time. Oh, and this is looking at thousands and thousands of students, for example, in Dr. Kyla Wallstrom's Centers for Disease Control's sponsored study that just came out in March. In terms of athletics, this is one of the areas where the community still is adjusting. Some schools, for example, the one that was featured in the New York Times article, found creative solutions like being able to get Wi-Fi on the buses so as the athletes left their classrooms, they were still able to log in and participate virtually in the end of the day. That's a pretty inexpensive solution these days. So there are bumps in the road, but it doesn't mean that if you're going to put health and safety and student achievement at the very, very top of what you consider important for our nation's youth, that this isn't still an important thing to consider.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Kari, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate the opportunity.
And Dolores, good to have you with us, too.
Thank you very much.
We've been speaking with Dolores Goronic, National Outreach Director for Start School Later, and also Kari Oakes, the group's National Research Director.